You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Respect the past and represent the future with new gear from the Cleveland Browns Pro Shop. Shop the largest selection of all new jerseys, t-shirts, sweatshirts, hats, and more. Stop by the Pro Shop at First Energy Stadium, open 11 a.m. to 5. That's Monday through Sunday, or shop now at shop.clevelandbrowns.com or from the convenience of your couch on the Browns mobile app. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm, Kid with you here. Let's go to Tony in North Ridgeville now. Tony, welcome to the show.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good. How are you?
Pretty good. I enjoyed the draft. I liked the draft. The one thing, from back when Carmen Policy took this team over, they were always trying to do something goofy. You know, turn the team into the 49ers. When Butch Davis was here, it was all SEC guys, and we were going to be the Miami Hurricanes. I think Mangini tried to do this, but we're finally getting an identity of our division. And I think that's key. It's something I've been harping on for 15 years, wishing somebody would come in here and start getting guys who can block and guys who can tackle. So I like that. I would have loved to have seen, since Jalen Strong dropped, I would have liked to have seen him. I thought there was a couple tight ends we could have got. I think with a running game, you need that vertical tight end threat. I think that's really good for play action.
That's what Rob Housler is going to be, by the way.
That's Rob Housler, okay.
That's Rob Housler, runs a 4.5 40. That's exactly why Rob Housler is here.
Okay, nice. And the receiver thing, I think with the young, if we're going to really go for Manziel, which I kind of think we're betting on him, having veteran wide receivers like Hartline and Bowe is not the worst thing. And people act like we didn't address the position, and we did. I mean, we got two starters. So, all in all, I like it. What I really like was Duke Johnson. We needed a third down back. And I'm not just saying he's just a third down back, but we need to get a screen pass. We need a third down back. And as far as the Benjamin, say bye-bye to Benjamin and Hiram, Phil Taylor, you guys can look this up and tell me, what's his cap number? Because I told you guys last year, he's a bust. He gets single teamed. He gets knocked down. I don't know if it's hurt or what it is, but he's got to go. And I hope he's gone.
I thought Phil Taylor did his best work in the Thursday night game against Cincinnati when he was playing the big end position. But that's what you brought, if I'm not mistaken. Isn't that what you brought Randy Starks to be?
You did. And also, too, I think Phil Taylor would carry a number around $5 million.
I'm looking it up right now. I believe they picked up the fifth-year option on him, which would be $5.5 million, and I'm pretty sure it's guaranteed.
Yeah.
So I don't see Phil Taylor going anywhere unless it's via a trade for the Browns. I don't think that he's going to be cut at that type of a number.
Well, and with the cap room that we still have this year, I mean, if you've already guaranteed the contract, you may as well keep him around. Even if you don't love him, you may as well see what you got.
Right. You do know what you're going to get out of a guy like that, especially in the second year of a system. Let's just hope he can get healthy. But to go back to the caller's point, and that's the one question that I've mentioned, you know, a multitude of times on the show since I've been back living in Northeast Ohio is, you know, what's going on with the Browns? And I go, you know what? They need to build the team that could compete and beat the Steelers, Ravens, and Bengals on a consistent basis. And I think this draft was a huge step towards doing that.
I agree with that. And by the way, the Phil Taylor number is 5.5, as we said, 5.5 guaranteed when they picked up that option. If they cut him, though, they will have some dead money depending on when they cut him. If they cut him after June 1st, they would be okay.
So if they cut him after June 1st?
No, actually, no. It's fully guaranteed. So, no, they would have to move him.
So the dead money would be this year or next year?
It would be this year.
Yeah, there's no – he's going to be on the team then.
Phil Taylor's going to be on the team.
So you figure then, you look at the defensive line, you go Shelton, Cooper, John Hughes, you just paid him a whole bunch of money, Phil Taylor, Desmond Bryant, who came off, you know, his
Starks.
Most impressive year, and Starks are the givens, I feel, along the defensive line.
Right, so then you've got, you know, Ishmaele Kitchen –
who just signed his tender for a little over $3 million.
Our good friend Buckwild Billy Wynn. You've got Calvin Barnett, who they were high on last year. Jacoby McDaniel, who's on the practice squad last year. So those are the guys that are going to be battling out for that final spot. I do think, you know, Billy Wynn is a guy that I like, and it'll be interesting to see how that moves out. I think that a trade could come somewhere from the D-line for this Cleveland Browns team. And I also want to say something, too. You were getting into it with somebody today on Twitter who was saying that it would just be easy to scheme Danny Shelton off the field for the Browns. In talking to some people around the league, Danny Shelton is viewed as a guy who can actually play all three downs and who can make plays from number to number.
And I think the person that's saying that is probably listening to one analyst that might feel that way when you and I, Nathan, if you can even do it on YouTube. Draw up the app on your phone and put Danny Shelton highlights and look what he does in passing situations. Look at the down and distance, you know, on the little markers on the sideline, and watch what Danny Shelton does when single block, and also to the fact that he can split a double team versus the run and the pass.
216-578-0850. Let's go to Steve in Austin, Texas now. Steve, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me on, guys. First, I want to say I overall really liked our draft. I loved day two. I thought they got 3 second-round talents with those guys. That was awesome. There were some things I didn't agree with on day three, but, you know, that happens all the time. But the one thing that really I don't understand, and I got nothing against this player. I've seen him play. I think he's a decent player. But games in the fifth round when you've got on the board first-team All-American tight end, like just waiting to be given to you in the sixth round, Nick O'Leary, obviously I'm talking about. Guy scored 15 touchdowns the last two seasons. He's a strong blocker. And you pick a guy who you're hoping can compete with your number 8 overall pick from last year and your fourth rounder for last year for maybe the fourth corner spot on the team. Like, what is the value you're adding making that pick? And I understand he was probably in the top 3 or 4 best player available or whatever on a lot of these boards that you see, but I don't understand like how that has the impact that you pass up on a guy who's probably going to end up being a starter for you, a tight end, and O'Leary for this guy. And then,
I'll just try to answer that quickly. And my guess is they view O'Leary as more of a Y tight end, and they've got Dre and Barnage already at Y. Now, that's not to say you wouldn't want to start succession planning and bring competition there, but I think when they were looking at tight end in this draft, Malcolm Johnson, they got a guy who's more of an H-back fullback, and then the guy out of USC is an athlete that they think can maybe be that more H-role tight end.
Right, and also, too, the guy that we got out of, the Telfair we got out of USC, obviously he's going to have the injury coming in, but his first comments was, I'm a blocker. I'm a dominant inline blocker, and every team, especially in the AFC North, needs one of those guys. So that's a developmental pick for us as well. But if you go back, the one thing about O'Leary, and I asked that same question along the as we were on the Browns radio networks, you know, during the draft, which would have been the third day, and I asked, wow, O'Leary goes right in front of, you know, Johnson, I believe, later in the draft, or it might have been in front of the Telfair pick, whatever it was. And I asked, wow, you know, highly productive player out of a very good football team in the last 2 years at Florida State. And they just said, lacks ideal size and had some injury struggles as well, staying healthy between the season and when he competed in the combine and his pro day.
Also, I think when there's a player that played at such national prominence as O'Leary, and all the teams are passing on him, sometimes as a fan you get caught up in, and I do the same thing, of like, wow, why can't we get this guy? He's from a national championship team. He's Jack Nicklaus's grandson. He's got the lineage, this, that, and the other. The measurables probably just didn't stack up.
And everybody just wanted O'Leary because he's a tough guy wearing no gloves, and your eyes naturally gravitate towards the tight end streaking down the field, catching the football, you know, athletically with no gloves on. You got to give him some props for that.
You do have to give him some props for that. When we come back, we're going to take more phone calls, 216-578-0850. Stan in Brooklyn, Cam in Canada. We are going to talk to you when we come back. And also, we have the general manager of the Cleveland Browns, Ray Farmer, coming up at 2 p.m. Eastern. Tweet me your questions at Nathan Zagura, at TheKid97, at MattWilhelm35, at Browns_Daily. Use the hashtag AskRay, and we will ask Ray the best questions we get as well.